This podcast is an unedited excerpt from an MCLE program presented at MCLE's Conference Center in Boston, Massachusetts. Get 24/7 instant access to over 350 employment and labor law e-lectures and more with a subscription to the MCLE Online Pass. Learn more at www.mcle.org/onlinepass. Please note that MCLE's products, services, and communications are offered solely as an aid to developing and maintaining professional competence. The statements in this recording may not apply to your circumstances, and no legal, tax, accounting, or other professional advice is being rendered by MCLE or its speakers. For full terms and conditions, please see the MCLE website.
All right. So, good afternoon, everybody, and thank you for joining us. We're going to be talking about issues relating to commission and benefit forfeiture upon termination. So I'm going to start us off talking about COBRA and related statutes governing benefit continuation. So I've included here a brief agenda of what we're going to be discussing with respect to COBRA. So first of all, what is COBRA? What employers are actually covered by the Act? Which employees qualify as qualified beneficiaries of COBRA benefits? And then employee terminations as qualifying events. How long COBRA coverage lasts? And then we're going to talk about briefly the notification and election requirements. And then before moving on, we'll touch on the Massachusetts mini COBRA law, which is supposed to be a supplement to the federal COBRA law. Okay, so let's start out. What is COBRA? So COBRA is the Consolidated Omnibus Budget Reconciliation Act. It was passed in 1985, and essentially it requires employers who sponsor health plans to offer continuation of coverage to their covered employees, spouses, and dependents. It applies to private sector, state, and local governments, but it does not apply to the federal government and certain other church-related organizations. Okay, so what employers are subject to COBRA? It's all employers who have group health plans with 20 or more employees. And they have to have 20 or more employees on more than 50% of the working days in the previous year. So employees includes both full and part-time employees, and there's a note here that explains in order to calculate that number of employees part-time. Part-time employees count as a percentage of what would be required for them to be full-time. So if you have clients that have 20 or more employees, they will have obligations under COBRA. Now, who is eligible for COBRA benefits? So employers subject to COBRA must provide COBRA benefits to qualified beneficiaries. And a qualified beneficiary is anyone who is covered under the employer's group health plan on the day before an event that causes loss of coverage, such as a termination. So this includes all employees, their spouses, dependents, retirees, and partners in a partnership. So if a client or an employer has an employee that enrolls in their group health plan on a Wednesday, and then that employee is terminated the next day, they are eligible as a qualified beneficiary under COBRA. Covered employers do not have to offer COBRA coverage to employees who are not eligible to participate in their group health plan, or eligible employees who have declined to participate in the health plan for whatever reason. Maybe they have their own insurance or they're on a spouse's plan, or an individual who is enrolled for benefits under Medicare. Now, terminations qualify as what we call qualified events. So a qualifying event is an event that causes an individual to lose health coverage. So a termination of employment, and it can be either a voluntary termination or an involuntary termination, counts as a qualifying event. There is one caveat to that, and it's that terminations for gross misconduct are not qualifying events. But COBRA itself doesn't define exactly what gross misconduct is, so we've included some points here about guidelines that may be helpful in that analysis. So there has to actually be a connection between the terminable offense, so the event leading to the employee's termination, and the employee's job. and the employee must be able to understand the gravity of the misconduct. The offense must also be willful, so it can't just be sort of, a mistake, something along those lines. And so to sort of give some color to this, I'll give two examples from the nursing context. So this is sort of the most infamous example in terms of when we're talking about gross misconduct. A nurse was terminated for an incident with another nurse where she asked him to go respond to patient calls, and he resisted, saying that he was busy, couldn't do it, and so she turns around and she pulls down her scrubs and she moons him. So they let her go, and they did not provide COBRA benefits because they classified her termination as for gross misconduct. And a court actually determined that that was not gross misconduct because the mooning incident was an isolated incident unrelated to the performance of her job. And the way the court described it was a single isolated impulsive incident which harmed only workplace protocol. On the other hand, we have another example of a nurse who was, she worked in an anesthesia practice, so obviously high risk. And she was terminated for a violation of written protocols and for mismanaging controlled substances. And in that case, that was determined to be gross misconduct because mishandling of controlled substances, patient drugs, clearly is connected to her job as a nurse anesthetist. When in doubt, it sort of always is best to make sure that you're complying with COBRA. So in that regard, a lot of employers just offer the COBRA benefits to departing employees because COBRA mistakes can be very costly. There are penalties involved with violations, and that can be up to $110 per day per employee for as long as the non-compliance continues. And of course, employees can also file lawsuits. Okay, so the length of COBRA benefits varies depending on the qualifying event, but for terminations, it is 18 months.
If the employee is disabled, is there a longer COBRA period?
There is. So I don't have the chart in front of me, but they go up to 36 months, and there are certain, depending on what the qualifying event is, that will determine the amount of time. And if you have questions about that, I'm happy to sort of get into that later and give more detail on those. Okay, so there are certain notification requirements with respect to COBRA, and this is sort of where employers can get into trouble because they either aren't aware of these requirements or they just simply forget to do them with respect to employee termination. So first, employers have to notify the plan administrator within 30 days of a qualifying event. So if a client or an employer terminates an employee, it's important to remind them of their notice obligations under COBRA. And then the plan administrator has to send an election notice to the employee or family members within 14 days of receiving the notice of the qualifying event. Similarly, if a qualified beneficiary receiving COBRA benefits, if those benefits are going to be terminated, they also have to receive a notice of termination. So if it's terminated before the end of the 18-month period, they will have to receive notification of that determination. And COBRA also provides that these notices should be sent by first-class mail. So employees have, qualified beneficiaries have 60 days to elect COBRA, and that 60 days is measured from the later of the loss of coverage or the date the notice is sent. So if a notice gets sent a little bit later, then the 60 days will run from the date that notice is sent so that the qualified beneficiary has time to actually elect that COBRA coverage. And just a note here too, if a client or employer has qualified beneficiaries receiving COBRA benefits during their open enrollment period, those individuals are actually, they should be able to make the same changes to their coverage plan as current employees. So it's just something to keep in mind during open enrollment. Okay, so the plan can actually charge beneficiaries the full cost of COBRA coverage. So this is unique in that a lot of employers will pay a portion of the health insurance benefits on behalf of their employees. When it comes to COBRA, the employee has to pick up that portion of the benefits.
And in fact, I think it can be 102% of what the benefit is.
Yep.
of what the monthly payment is.
Yep, that's a great point. Okay, so before we move on, I just want to touch on Massachusetts Mini COBRA. So essentially the purpose of, so it's the Massachusetts Small Group Continuation of Coverage Law, and the purpose of it is to encompass those employees who work for smaller employers who wouldn't be covered by the federal COBRA. So you can see on the slide that it provides for the continuation of health benefits for employees of small businesses with 2 to 19 employees. So essentially in Massachusetts, any employer with more than 2 employees is going to have some sort of continuation of benefits obligation with respect to their employees. And the Massachusetts Mini COBRA law has pretty much a lot of the same standards as the COBRA law itself. So for termination, former employees are eligible to receive coverage up to 18 months, same sort of notice requirements, and qualified beneficiaries have 60 days to elect coverage. Okay, so I think we are moving.